I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are?
All right, everybody, another day, another dollar, another one of my favorite episodes, because it's my own podcast. I'm biased. What if it did work? I got with me some, talk about a blast from the past. This guy's the man, the myth, the legend. Dario Herrera, he's a social good entrepreneur that serves as CEO for WFR Agency and Influence, a startup AI-driven SaaS marketplace, eliminating the guesswork of influencer marketing for the world's biggest advertisers. 20 years plus of executive leadership experience. You get 20 years when you're old. And has helped shape the crowdfunding and influencer marketing space. He's helped drive social media strategy and execution for A-list celebrity artists ranging from It's Not Over, Darby, to Pitbull, Mr. 305, with the Bali Vodka, to Lil Wayne, True Fit, to Rob Zombie, director, writer, producer, The Lords of Salem, and many albums, White Zombie, White Rob Zombie, as well as worked with small to medium-sized businesses, authors, social good professionals, and nonprofits to develop their brand story and overall social media marketing strategy and execution. Is a dynamic and naturally charismatic. I can tell you wrote that. That's like a four-syllable word there. Highly sought after professional speaker. He is most well-known for his how to go from high to buy with social media. Dario is no stranger to overcoming adversity. He is Mr. Adversity, doing the work. And I'm grateful I get to call him a friend going back to ninth grade in Miami in the 80s. The man, the myth. Not only that, but he taught me what my self-worth was, who I really was. And he taught me if the stove is hot, there's no need to keep on touching a hot stove. What's up, brother?
Hey, bro. How are you?
You see, I told you I was going to add a little to it.
I figured you would. So grateful to be here with you, and obviously always wonderful to connect. And I love so much what you're doing and the words of wisdom you share daily. And I love your consistency with it. I love your passion for it. And I'm humbled to be here with you, bro.
Bro, could you have ever thought that we would be business? Not only business, but personal development.
No, I never thought that. I mean, there was times where I doubted whether I would get through high school, let alone, you know, go on to accomplish the things that I've been, you know, so just blessed to accomplish. And it's so nice to see you and your arc. You know, I remember, I think it was it biology that we were in together? No, it wasn't biology. It was ninth grade.
We've had a couple of classes.
Yeah, but we sat next to each other in one specific one. I don't remember exactly which one it was.
We did have PE in junior high. I remember wearing the Larry Bird creeper, the Magnum creeper shorts.
Anyway, yeah, it's been a long journey. It's been a fun journey. It's had its ups and its downs, and I'm grateful to see you on the other side, and definitely honored to connect with you, buddy.
Brother, what I love about you is you're like the Latino, like Freddy Krueger, Latino, like in a good way. Or, dude, you keep on coming. You're like a modern day Lazarus, man. Nothing can hold you back. And man, I applaud you because, you know, most people, if they hit success and go backwards, that's it, man. You're determined. You keep on going. You keep picking yourself up. And you keep on reinventing yourself, man. You keep on reinventing yourself because that's what life's about. Life's about pivoting. Life's about getting up, especially. Nobody wants to get up when they hit rock bottom, but you know, that's the only way to do it is to go straight up and prove all those naysayers and haters wrong, brother.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of that. I also think life is about learning. And for me, it's been learning who I am, what I have to offer, what do I enjoy doing, what don't I enjoy doing, what kind of people I want to surround myself with, what do I want my days to look like, what kind of clients do I want to serve and help and support, you know, what I want to do for myself in terms of my own personal growth and making sure that my life aligns to my values and I get to curate, you know, my daily experience. And it's been a long journey to learn, you know, what makes me happy, what makes me unhappy, what fulfills me, what doesn't, what motivates me to get out of bed in the morning, what doesn't. And, you know, it's nice to, and I'm 50, I'm saying this, you know, as a 50-year-old man, it's nice to kind of be hitting my stride and finally kind of have a comfortable understanding of who I am and what moves me and what I want to do with my life. And that, you know, that's a great accomplishment in and of itself. And it's something that I have been very, very far away from at different journeys and seasons of my life. So to be here knowing what I have to offer and knowing that I can back that up and that it fulfills me and aligns with my values, you know, is very freeing and very empowering and very humbling.
Here's my question, man. You move out of South Florida, Westchester, you know, the glorious, beautiful neighborhood that we grew up with the million-dollar cars, and Vegas. You make a name for yourself in Vegas, hit a couple speed bumps, you get knocked down, but you reestablish yourself in Vegas. Why move to SoCal?
Well, I moved for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, my youngest son lived in Encinitas, which is North County. And my older kids, I stayed in Vegas primarily because at the time I had all three of them there. And my oldest is now on his own career and he has his own family. And Ella is now in college as a sophomore at University of Oregon. And I had been a part-time dad to Tail, driving back and forth as often as I could, but never really being fully present. And he deserved that. He deserved for me to be fully present. He deserved for me to go to his games, just like I did for Chris and Ella. He deserves, you know, for me to do homework with him, for me to play PS4 with him, you know, for me to listen to, like just last night, we were sitting outside by the fire listening to his favorite, you know, vinyls, you know. So yeah, my network was in Vegas and I had done, you know, very well there. And, you know, I just felt like I couldn't give Tail what he needed, my youngest son, what he needed, you know, from Las Vegas. And it was important for me to be there for him. I didn't have that growing up, as you know. My father left when I was two and I had a stepfather who I love very much, you know, disappear overnight. And I had another stepfather that was very abusive around the time that we went to school together. And, you know, I lived on my own for a couple of years during high school. So, you know, I didn't have the ideal situation at home. And not that it's ideal to have, you know, mom and dad not be, you know, married and so forth. But the next best thing is knowing that I can be there for him and him knowing that I love him and that I can be there for him and that I take interest in him and that, you know, his dad is there anytime he needs him. So it was just important for me, you know, despite the professional challenges it was going to create and even the cost of living adjustment has been, you know, pretty interesting to say the least. But he deserves it.
Well, yeah, to say the least, man, you went from a place affordable. People don't realize Vegas is, as long as it's not the strip, you know, as long as you're not paying $20 for a hamburger at Caesar's Palace or whatnot. Yeah, it's an affordable place. SoCal, all of Southern California is just through the roof. Not only real estate, where like, you know, La Jolla, it's like $1 million and you can have someone's shack.
Yeah.
But hey, man, the things we do for our kids. So hey, congratulations to you, brother.
Yeah, and I don't regret a minute of it. You know, when I'm sitting there watching him play soccer, or watching him play baseball, or taking him to the batting cages, or just like we were last night, listening to vinyl records and kind of, you know, contemplating, hey, is Iron Maiden, you know, traditional heavy metal, or is it just metal, or is it heavy metal, or is it British metal? And have just those conversations. And he's such a smart, creative, intuitive kid. He's so curious about the world. And just stuff like that makes all the other stuff completely worth it.
Well, dude, tell him I love his musical tastes. When you posted on social media, he was listening to Metallica. He's an old soul, man. Usually Casey listens to horrible ass, well, I can't even call it music, to say the least, man. So yeah, tell him I like his style, man, completely.
Yeah, I'll let him know for sure.
So, okay, you have, now, your business, you're a social media influencer, you had your agency. Was it hard to move that off your office, or you streamlined everything and it really doesn't matter where you call home?
Well, when I was in Las Vegas, I had a different agency. And then when I moved to San Diego, I wanted to grow it and expand it. And so I created a new agency. I raised some money, I raised some capital, and grew the company. And it allowed us to have greater reach into the types of clients and the type of work we do for our clients. But really, I can do it mostly remotely. I mean, sure, you know, there are some in-person meetings. I still like to work with my staff, you know, person to person. You know, yeah, we do a lot of stuff remote, but you know, as a creative person, my juices get flowing when we have those brainstorming, those ideation sessions, when I can have a whiteboard and there's a free flow of ideas and really can just feed off one another. And you know, you can't do that fully remotely, but we can do a lot of stuff remotely. And so starting a new agency, you know, that's been going well. And, you know, we've worked with University of Miami. We've worked with Life Wallet, another brand that is local to South Florida. We've worked with, you know, national brands. We've worked with global brands. And it's been great. And, you know, we've helped them with their branding. We've helped them with their digital architecture. We've helped them tell their story. We've helped them identify who their audience is and create content strategy and architecture that is responsive to the audience so that they can kind of emotionally connect and be easier to find for the right people looking for their services and product. And so, yeah, WFRAgency.com, you know, we've grown recently and it's been exciting. And I get to, you know, develop some subject matter expertise across multiple verticals. And that keeps me on my toes, keeps me excited to get out of bed and learn something new and keep applying my learnings to benefit the clients that I have the opportunity and really the honor of working with to help them, you know, get out in front of people and help them market themselves.
Well, dude, what I love about you is you're not always chasing money. You go about, some of your clients are non-for-profit. Some of them, it's just all about raising awareness, raising money for a great cause.
Yeah, it's no secret that I had a passion for public service, and because of what happened with me when I was in public service, you know, I found a different avenue to serve, and that's, you know, applying my talents and the things that I've learned in marketing to benefit organizations who are doing good work. And one of them is Generation SOS, a substance misuse and mental health organization for teens and young adults. And it's literally helping save lives, especially with this fentanyl crisis that we're seeing. And sure, I discount my services, but I also get a ton of fulfillment. In fact, I would volunteer for them if they weren't paying me. And the fact that they do pay me and I get to help them with awareness, I get to help them fundraise, I get them help with event management and creation, and we increase the footprint. I mean, I think over last year, and I might not quote the number correctly, but it was over 500%. I think it was 504% more reach over the previous year. And I think the engagement rate increased 280%, just below 300%. And their fundraising base grew by a few hundred thousand dollars just last year alone. So that helps them reach out to more teens and young adults who are struggling with substance misuse and mental health. That helps save lives. That helps them get into more schools. That helps them reach kids at a younger age who are at risk with fentanyl and with the other stuff that's going on now with opioids and everything else. And it's a gift to be able to help an organization like that. And then, you know, we have other organizations, like we have a church in Boulder that's a spiritual center that welcomes all people from all walks of life, you know, whether it's LGBTQ, you know, racial diversity, ethnic diversity, you know, nationality diversity. And they're about, you know, the spiritual journey and something that's very, you know, near and dear to me as you know, because of my challenges, I've had my own growth journey, my own spiritual journey. So, you know, I get to do what I do, which I love, and I get to do it for people who are doing great work and touch the lives of others. So what a gift that is.
Now, here's my question to you. What brings you more joy? Stuff like that, or working with the pit bulls, the Darty, the Rob Zombies, the Little Wayne?
That's a great question. I mean, listen, I've enjoyed working with, you know, Pitbull and Rob Zombie and certainly Little Wayne, and you know, they're very impactful people, and they do their own social good, and they employ a lot of people in disadvantaged communities, and they inspire through their creativity, and they show what's possible in America with a little bit of talent. But really, if I'm comparing, if I can save a life, like helping Generation SOS save a teen life, or helping Pitbull sell out, you know, Radio City Music Hall, I'll pick the former over the latter every day, you know, and twice on Sunday. You know, that's that kind of social impact is what moves me. You know, it speaks to my core. It speaks to my, you know, desire for public service and public interest. And it's also my social, my Instagram name, right? Social Good Entrepreneur. It's, If I can, which I've been able to, you know, carve out a business model that supports people who are doing social good and make a decent living at it and help them make a living at it too, you know, that's the best of both worlds.
Dude, anytime you just step back and go, holy shit, look how far, look at some of the amazing things I've done. Dude, you've played golf with the President Bill Clinton. You've worked with celebrities. Were you ever like, oh my gosh, this kid from a broken home, from a blue collar working class neighborhood, a neighborhood where pretty much everybody stays, no growth, nothing. Was there ever a time that you're like, holy shit, look how far, look at everything I've done. This is amazing.
You know, it's a great question. And I'll say this, when I got elected to the state assembly, and I got elected to the county commission and got elected as chairman of the county commission, and I was playing golf with the president and so forth, I had that thought more often. When I got into professional life, I didn't really have that kind of thought because I was living my authentic truth in terms of what I'm good at, what I love to do. And it came natural to me. The political stuff, I think, was born out of the need for filling that hole that I had from abandonment and from, you know, some of the wounding as a young boy. And I had this adoration, and I was blessed with, you know, a certain presence that people responded to. And because of that, I felt accepted, even though a lot of it was bullshit. And I felt accomplished, even though a lot of it was bullshit. And I felt loved, even though a lot of it was bullshit. You know, so now that I'm in alignment with my authentic self and I'm doing what I enjoy doing and what I'm naturally talented at, and that I hone every day, and I get to serve the people that I choose to serve. I mean, there's a lot of clients that I won't do work with, that we get reached out all the time. And if it doesn't align with us, we just don't do it. And it's so these days I don't look back too much and say, oh wow, I look what I've accomplished. These days I look back and just with gratitude and kind of just more about the journey and really just try to do my best to be present and live in gratitude, you know, for the opportunities I have and for the chance I get to help other people every day. And there's a lot to be said for that. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm 50 and I'm finally filling my own void, if you will, with self-love and self-care and by stop doing, you know, harm to myself by making choices that don't reflect my values and don't come from a place of wholeness, you know? So, I don't spend a lot of time looking back on things now. I spend more time in the present and growing every day.
You know what I love, man? I love that in your bio, it says doing the work, because usually those that know, it's a never ending process. either you're growing or you're dying. But most people, especially toxic people, one, you'll never hear them say they did any work because, you know, they're normal. Yeah. But two, it's not like you said, I did the work. Doing the work, that is the right answer. That's the correct answer. Because, you know, guys like you and me, shitty upbringing, limited beliefs, you know, the friggin' self-harm, the doing stupid shit, self-destructive patterns, that'll always be with us. But having that awareness and knowing that whenever you're going to think something fucking stupid that you're getting ready to do, now you're like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah. And I, you know, part of the beauty in life, it gives you the lessons you need to learn. And it'll keep giving you the lessons you need to learn until you learn them. And I've learned some incredibly hard lessons in the hardest way possible, as you know. And it doesn't have to be that hard.
No,
it doesn't have to be that hard.
No, it doesn't. You know? We choose. We don't choose the road less traveled. We choose
the conversation about relationships, yeah, and allowing people to treat us a certain way and us treating them a certain way because of our shame and our projection and our lack of self-love and self-care. And, you know, we're not at fault for how we are, meaning it's not my fault that I was abandoned multiple times by my dad and my mom. It is my responsibility, though, to not allow that abandonment, to allow those wounds to continue to allow me to hurt other people and justify hurting other people because of the wounding that I have. And for a long time, that's what I did. I didn't have the awareness I have today. I didn't do the work authentically. I didn't pour myself into my spiritual journey. I didn't ask myself the question, hey, how can I best align myself with God's will for me today? How can I best serve you? It was about how can I best serve myself? How can I survive? And that shift is a subtle shift, and it's a powerful one. So, you know, I get to do the work every day. And some days are better than others. And life has a way of challenging your, or at least my, growth. And it gives me situations to react to. And I think part of what I'm proud of myself for is situations that used to trigger me or used to bring out ugliness in me or used to bring out doubts or shame or lack of self-worth or those types of things that were destructive. I'm now recognizing them for what they are. And I don't let them take away from me being present and me doing the work. And you know, that's a legacy I can leave for, you know, my sons and my daughter and, you know, my partners and certainly my family. And it hasn't come easily, but it's been worth it every step of the journey. And yeah, there are things I would do differently. And anyone who says, you know, oh, I wouldn't do anything differently, but listen, I've hurt some people and I've hurt myself. And yeah, so I'd do some things differently, but I wouldn't change where I'm at right now. Like I love where I am in my journey, and I love that I get to help people professionally and I help them achieve their dreams. I get to serve. I get to apply the talents that I've been given and the talents that I've learned and earned through hard work to help others. And I get to be a present dad, and I get to be a present partner, and I get to spread my self-love and self-care to the people I touch every day. And that's priceless to me.
Now, do you ever think God, the universe, puts us in situations just to test us, just to see if we have grown, to challenge us, to see, has he finally learned his lesson? Because, you know, I, at times, you know, with me, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I would have blown up. Or I would have done something stupid, or I would have reacted. And something now, I don't know whether it's age or just experience or just tired of going through the motions of picking things up. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that again.
That's beyond my pay grade. I do know from personal experience, the universe repeats the repair, meaning you do get those opportunities to show that you've grown, or you get those opportunities to show that you haven't. And you know, there's been plenty of circumstances in my life where I showed I didn't learn, where I didn't grow. And I got the opportunity to show that I, you know, had done some work and repaired that, you know. So whether it's done intentionally or not, or whether it's by some other kind of intelligent design, I don't know. You know, I don't know where that comes from. But I can say I've been given plenty of opportunities to show that I've learned and grown. And sometimes I failed. And today, more often than not, I don't fail. And I'm very proud of myself for that.
Full disclosure to the audience, there's been, not at any time recent, but a few years back, whenever Dario would be my voice of reason usually I would be running into the same patterns and the same behaviors and the same limiting beliefs, and really same woman, same situation, just different name, different face. So, you know, to me, that shows growth, that I haven't had to do an SOS. I haven't had to call you and tell you that I touched the hot stove and that it sure does burn. And
you know, I'm proud of you, man.
You don't have to tell me that I'm not in junior high or I'm not at Southwest High anymore, that, you know, I'm a highly educated, successful in all my qualities and to get my head out of my ass.
Yeah, well, I'm proud of you. And, you know, and now that you've chosen to pay it forward by, you know, doing these lessons that you share every day and how you motivate people and how you remind them that there's more to life than obsessing over social media or hitting the snooze button 7 times or living for the weekend or waiting for the first of the year to make resolutions and live life with purpose. You know, those are incredibly powerful and valuable lessons. I learned from them. I think I texted you like 2 or 3 weeks ago as a particular message that really resonated with me based on what was going on in my life on that particular day. And I reached out to you and said, hey, I needed to hear this. And I picked myself up and like, hey, don't feel sorry for yourself. You know, you're being given this to show that you've grown and to show that you can be resilient and to be resourceful and to be present and to be grateful in that presence. And your message really took me out of what was a very kind of uncomfortable, almost victim mode mood that was in, and empowered me to look at things differently. So I'm proud of you for paying it forward. I know you've learned lessons the hard way. And yes, we had some interesting conversations. And yes, it was interesting because I saw so much in you that you didn't see in yourself. And I was grateful that you allowed me to share that with you. And now I know you see it for yourself and then some. So I recall those conversations very fondly.
Well, dude, we've had similar upbringing stories, bullshit stories and all that. And a lot of times I just think I would go to that, looking at the reflection, I would look back as, you know, the dipshit kid from like, you know, junior high or high school, and not knowing my self-worth, not knowing the value. But that's something that we all do. It's because, you know, it's trauma, or we try to relive our past, even though, you know, there's no friggin' DeLorean, but we try to change. We try to visit situations in our past that, dude, leave that shit alone, man. The best time is now. And you're right, man. Yeah, it sucks that we're 50. I wish we were younger. But you know, it's a great ride, man. Everybody, it's a journey that not everybody gets, man. Not everybody gets to, are we playing the back nine? Sure. But most people don't even get to play the full front nine. And that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, I've played a lot of golf in my life, to use that analogy, and I've sprayed the ball around and left a lot of balls. I've hit the ball in the fairway. I've eight putted. I've done all kinds of stuff on the golf course. And if you know, you know, there's a subtle reference to something on the golf course there that I won't get into here because this is a family show, you know, and now I get to, you know, be more careful in my shot selection. I don't always have to hit driver. Sometimes I can hit the 5-iron, you know. I don't have to be a superstar. I could just be present, allow myself to be me, and just accept life as it comes and not have to control it or manipulate it or force it, and just allow myself to be present, use the gifts that I've been given to support others. And listen, about 2 months ago, I was lamenting, you know, with a good friend. You know, it's interesting. I had the agency, I still have it, you know, it does well. But I wasn't where I thought I should be in life professionally. And instead of like being angry about it, being frustrated about it, I called a friend who I trust very much. And I'm like, listen, I have this idea and I see this huge need in the market for influencer marketing. You know, the biggest agencies, the biggest brands, the world's biggest advertisers are still guessing when it comes to influencer marketing. You know, I have a solution for this. And 2 weeks later, we had a company built. We started fundraising. We had a brand built. You know, we're building a product now that is going to be very useful for advertisers and influencers alike. It's going to be very objective. It's AI driven. It's tech infused. And it applies everything I've been doing from an agency perspective since 2009. You know, and now, you know, I can apply the lessons that I have learned, you know, personally and professionally, and conduct this, you know, company differently and scale it properly. And you know, I'm 50 and I'm building a new company, and because it's authentic to me, people are responding to me asking them, you know, to believe in what we're doing, and agencies are responding to the business model, and influencers are excited about what we're bringing to the table. And yeah, and that would have happened, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I couldn't have been in this position. I wouldn't have been in a place of confidence. I wouldn't have been in a place of authenticity. I wouldn't have been aligned with you know, my higher purpose, if you will. And now I am. And what a gift. I'm 50, playing the back nine, and I'm still growing, and I'm still learning. I'm still challenging myself. I'm still pushing myself. I'm not accepting, you know, a good living and have that be my final chapter. I'm pushing the envelope, and I want to build wealth for myself, for my family, generations after us. And really, when it comes down to it, more than building wealth, just use everything that I've been given to do the maximum possible good impact. And that's driving for me every day. That's why I get out of bed in the morning and why I can go to bed at night rested.
I love the name of the company, man. It's Influsense, right?
Right, Influsense. Influence that makes sense. That's right.
Yes. Yes. Now, people our age, AI-driven, man, should we be worried about Skynet and Cyberdyne taking over?
You know, there's certain, I think, benefits to AI, and there's certain detriments, right? Is it going to cost jobs in the long term? Probably. Is it going to help us solve some big problems that we as humans probably couldn't solve ourselves? Probably. So I kind of, you know, take a wait and see approach and all that stuff. You know, I know how we can apply it to save money for big brands and agencies on their spend on media and who they choose as influencers so that they make better decisions. They get better ROI out of their media spend, out of the influencer marketing spend. And conversely, you know, the influencer marketing platform market is at $14 billion today, and by 2030, it's going to be valued at $180 billion, 32% growth year over year. You know, so I know AI will help all of that. You know, the bigger philosophical questions and what's going to happen long term, you know, I don't know. That's above my pay grade too, but I'm certainly interested in it. And I know that we can, you know, use AI to improve the content people see, to get influencer marketers the value they deserve, to get agencies the return on investment for their brand and their clients. The bigger stuff, you know, I'll take a wait and see approach on that.
Well, Daria, Influsense, who is your target market?
So our target market for the fundraise is accredited investors, and there's a very specific criteria for that. We can take roughly 30 to 35% of our fundraising from non-accredited investors. And we're doing a $5 million raise right now of a total of $15 million. Valuation is $15 million, $1 a share. We have a little bit of flexibility in that now. So, you know, right now that audience is people who are accredited investors and who have, you know, some disposable income who want to be part of the future and want to, you know, have a potential you know, public company offering, you know, give them a big return someday if everything works out the way we expect it to. Now, that's not a forward-looking statement. That's just, you know, my expectation. You know, I didn't get into this to fail. In terms of the actual product, there's two markets. One is the big agencies who represent advertisers and brands. They need good measurable data to find the best marketing partners, the best influencers to help them pitch whatever their brand needs in the pitch and do it in a way that's aligned with that influencer's audience. That's very vertical specific. You know, if you're an influencer in European travel and you get hired for US travel, you're not going to have as much impact. You know, if you're a soccer influencer and you get hired for football, you're not going to have that much impact and you're not going to be hired again. And the brand's not going to get the return on investment. And the audience is going to see the content that they really want to see. So we're really solving that problem. So, you know, our market is basically twofold, the big agencies and even the medium sized agencies really that represent advertisers who are looking for influencer marketing partners and influencer marketers themselves, because we have a marketplace where they can match up with the biggest brands and advertisers need their services. And what's interesting really is the disconnect that has existed between agencies and influencers and audiences. And InfluSense solves that problem. And we can do it in a way that's scalable, leveraging AI, leveraging tech, and really giving the audiences at home what they want to see, giving influencer marketers their actual value, and getting the right return on investment for the biggest advertisers in the world.
So ultimately, 5 years out, you want to have all the accredited investors, all the angel investors on yachts because this thing's cash flowing positive. And to quote the Ghostbusters line, you've got cats and dogs living together. So everything's in harmony. The influencers, the firms, the big firms, the mid-sized firms, as well as the client, which the artists. Mm. Right?
Yeah, the brands, right. The brands are hiring the agencies. And you know, I learned when I was working in a different SaaS company that the best way to scale is to go to the party that has your client, you know, so I can go to a brand by brand and have it be much more time consuming, much more costly from a cost per acquisition perspective, or I can go to an agency and sell the agency and have them bring it to their clients, you know, so... You know, one agency in particular that we're going to do a pilot with here soon, you know, they have 6,000 to 8,000 digital media clients. So, you know, this kind of sales force I'd have to have to reach out to 6,000 to 8,000 digital clients directly, you know, how much time, how much money, travel, effort, you know, resources. Now, if I go to the agency and I have a successful test case with 2 or 3 divisions, now I have access to the entire, you know, plethora of clients, you know. So it's just a smart, you know, way. As a marketer, I would ask myself, you know, 2 questions. Who's my audience? In this particular case, it's the brand. And who's going to give me the quickest, fastest access, cheapest access to that audience? You know, so the agencies who represent the brands is the answer to that question.
So this is going to save 2 of the most valuable resources, time and money. Because before, it was pretty much everything was a test, right? Throw money. Like if it's spaghetti up against the wall, see what sticks, what doesn't. Oh, it's a success. We really can't quantify. Let's just keep on throwing money and see what works and what doesn't work.
Right. And that's, you know, and a brand and an agency can never get either one of those things back, their money and or their time, you know, and we're going to solve that problem. And I'm excited about it. We built a great team. We had the right tech. We are already developing our what we call MVP, which is the minimal viable product. We've got pilots lined up. You know, there was an influencer marketing platform called Hyper that went public and sold at a very big multiple. And I was very fortunate to serve as a chief advisor to Hyper in its early days and help kind of structure their move forward plan with their CEO, who was a friend of mine. And now, you know, he's my chief advisor. So it comes full circle. I served as his chief advisor and helped him launch Hyper. And ultimately, he had a very successful exit. And now he's, you know, gets to pay it forward and work with me to get direct access to these big agencies to learn some of the, you know, ins and outs of influencer marketing and some of the things that Hyper couldn't do because they didn't have AI. They didn't have the kind of tech that we have access to today. So, you know, I think we're approaching this correctly, and our team is very capable, and we have a leg up because of my relationship with the former CEO of Hyper, who was now my chief advisor.
Throw him some love. How do you pronounce that last name, man? Gil Ayal.
Gil Ayal. Yep. Gil
Ayal. Look at that, man. Congratulations, brother. Dude, looking at the board, man. You're up on top. You're the CEO. You're the founder. You could be the founder of like a really influential, something that moves the needle, something that changes just the way people market, the way people influence. And that's amazing, dude. So where is the corporate headquarters here? When I mean here in SoCal?
It's in, yeah, our corporate headquarters is San Diego and basically downtown San Diego. And, you know, we have partners in Las Vegas, we have partners in Miami, we have investors from all across the country. You know, we've raised well into the six figures now, and it's being well received. And, you know, we'll start to take in some, probably some institutional capital here soon. You know, we've been approached by some pretty meaningful, you know, private equity firms and VCs, venture capitalist firms to make a big investment. And, you know, but we're being very smart about who we align ourselves with. We know we have a great product. We know we're solving a big problem. So we're not in a hurry to take a bunch of money and give away, you know, the right way to do this. I am confident that our team knows the right way to do this, to solve the big problem of influencer marketing, to create opportunity, to create value for our investors. And that's exciting. And the most, you know, I don't get tied up in the titles of CEO or founder or anything. I just happen to be the CEO because it was my idea. And I happen to be the founder because I moved the needle and made this happen, you know, with the folks I talked with. I'm most grateful that I get to serve. And I get to really put into action the gifts that I've been given. I get to work on my passion. I get to help others realize, you know, their opportunities. And, you know, with our investors, you know, if I can give them a great payday, wow, what a gift. You know, what a gift. I'm blessed that I get to do well. And certainly if I can do, you know, what I expect to do through this company, you know, a lot of people will benefit from it. And I can create generational wealth for my family. And that would truly be just something that needless to say, my parents didn't do for me. They did the best they could, you know, with their limitations. But if I could do that for my kids and solve, you know, a national problem, a global problem, really, you know, that's a win-win where I come from.
Now, what I like about the website, it's spelled INFOUSCNCE.com, is yes, if you're not an accredited investor, dude, there's still a lot of value, man. Anybody can use these tools. Using influencer marketing to drive ROI, 5 steps to calculate your true influencer marketing ROI. It just all about influencer marketing and how it's a crucial and critical part of every marketing strategy. A lot of people don't understand that. Dude, a lot of people don't even, they have a friggin' Facebook. Perfect example. Person I sold my companies to, her social media business page is on private. And it's like, are you serious?
Right.
People don't know anything. They don't know that even the basics that you have to post all the time, that you have to be an influencer. Not only an influencer, but you have to be able to give content and valuable content. The world's not fair. You know, you and I, we're not hot chicks that can just get likes and views and, you know, free shit. But if you own a business, your content, you have to be in service. You have to give people a compelling reason. If I was an AC repairman, how to change a filter, why to change. But then they won't use me. They're not using you to begin with, brother. Living in scarcity never creates more money. It's when you live in abundance and you give and you give and you give, you it returns by giving you more clients and more people willing to use your services.
Yeah, and that's what we call, you know, the four E's of content marketing, right? First, you work on educating the folks that you're passionate for, and you work on enriching their lives. You work on entertaining them. And if you educate them, if you enrich their lives by what you share, if you entertain them, then they're going to engage you. You know, they're going to invite themselves to be a customer. You don't ever have to sell yourself if you are practicing, you know, I think storytelling through the four E's of content marketing. And you know, I've seen you do that well. And, you know, that's what we teach our clients to do through the agency. We also have a kind of an offering where I serve as a virtual CMO and provide the execution team, something that most, you know, small to medium sized businesses can't afford. They can't afford a CMO, my experience and expertise and history. They can't afford a full execution team. So what they can basically pay for one position, and typically a recent college graduate, you know, they can hire a virtual CMO and execution team to help them with their marketing objectives and goals. And, you know, that's an offering that's pretty unique to W4R agency. And we have a couple of situations like that. They're working very well. So, I mean, it's fun, man. It's, you know, I see you market all the time. I hear you say, hey, you know, pitch yourself, put yourself out there. And this is something that we tell our clients all the time, and consistency is this as important as how compelling the content is. And if you just post content that's decent twice a week, you know, you can post average content five times a week and you're going to get better reach, you're going to get better impact, you're going to have a better relationship with your audience. So I appreciate that you espouse those. And I know, you know, you've learned from the best, from Gary Vee and, you know, from some of the, you know, big guys in marketing world. And but more importantly, you apply it, which is great.
Well, dude, because most people, they go to seminars, they go meet all these people, they wipe their ass with it, but they're like, oh man, I got to walk on fire, and I got to grab ass with plenty of other successful people. It was awesome, but they don't implement, man. Knowledge without implementation, who gives a shit? You know, that to me, that's even worse than the people that are screaming, because at least you're watching something that they enjoy, or they're doing something fun. But if you're just going to seminars and you're not implementing it, you're just wasting your time, wasting money, man. I mean, plain and simple. But yeah, the thing is, people are afraid to post, man, because, oh my gosh, somebody might take me down, or somebody might, you know, who gives a shit? It's always somebody that's in their basement. It's always somebody that their life just sucks completely, because you'll never see somebody very successful. You'll never just go have somebody like Gary Vee, anybody, Anthony Robbins, Grant Cardone, anybody go, hey, Dario, this is a stupid idea. It sucks. But once you put that out there, out into mass media, oh, what a dick, or what an asshole, or here, let's poke about his past. Dude, I would always remember, like, and you always took the high road, which is the right thing to do. But, dude, you could have been posting about anything, and there'd always be, like, some fucking idiot taking a shot about your past. It's like, holy shit. I mean, is this motherfucker the Pope? Is this Mother Teresa? Could this guy walk on water? Oh, no, he's just a fuck-up himself. So who gives a shit, you know, man? But, yeah, that's why I always take the high road. Post. Dude, people love to post their dysfunction, their drama, their toxicity, their fucked up behavior on social media. Hey, man, why don't you just start posting, you know, what you're truly selling? We're all trying to sell something. Quit selling the drama and start selling something. Start selling positivity. Because you know what? You don't want your kids to go, oh, man, yeah, I love my parents, but, man, they're such fuck ups.
Yeah, listen, my kids have been able to say that at different points in my life, so I'm glad they have less reason to today. And I have to say, it's a gift to connect with you always. I love the candor in the show. I love the directness of your message, and you know, it's just nice to be able to do good with you, bro.
And dude, the phone is always open, man. Just like I know I can fucking call you at midnight. Well, it would be nine there, but I could call you up at 3 midnight there. And that's what life's about, is about creating relationships, man. Connecting with people. Because at the end of the day, we're not Egyptians. We're not going to be buried with, you know, somebody's not going to throw in the checking account and throw in a laptop and go, here, man, here's your 2 million views and your, you know, your 5 million likes. Who gives a shit in the grand scheme of things, man? It's all about who are you and who have you helped, and have you made a world a better place? Have you made your neighborhood a better place?
That's right. That's right. Well, listen, it's always a gift to be with you. Let's do this again soon. Let's not let another year and a half pass before we do this again.
Dude, exactly, man. Hey, silence doesn't mean I'm getting myself in trouble. Silence is a good thing. And it's weird because I haven't done anything fucked up or anything stupid in a while. That's why I don't know whether, you know, my hands are tired of touching. You know, I finally learned a lesson, or, you know, it's crazy. But I love you. Everybody knows that. Everybody in our neighborhood. All the haters will say we both suck, but you know what? They're still living in fucking Westchester, or still living somewhere fucking doing absolutely nothing with their lives. So talk to us. How do we find you, your organization? Everything.
WFRAgency.com. WFR means working for results. WFRAgency.com and infusense.com. INFLUSENCE.com. Infusense, influence that makes sense. And you can find us there. And, you know, we're responsive. We pay attention to folks who reach out to us. And even from, you know, an educational perspective, if we can help you learn more about marketing, if we can help you to serving you and give you some tips, you're happy to do that. Obviously, we're not going to give away your entire value.
Of course.
But happy to help small to medium-sized business owners realize their dreams. And whether you're a client or not, you know, we'd love to have a conversation with you.
Brother, this is my final question for you.
Yeah.
And what would you tell someone? What words of wisdom would you have for that person that's had any success and shit hit the fan? Divorce, maybe. I don't know. There's so much major trauma out there. Person lost their life savings on crypto. Person went bankrupt. Had success. Fell down. And doesn't know what to do. What words of wisdom do you have for that person?
All down, sometimes stand up eight. You know, I would say you have everything you need within yourself to change the direction of your life at any moment. You are the creator of your future, and the things you do today will determine that future. So you can stay in victim mode, or you can believe you're a failure, or you can take one positive step every day until you achieve the future you want to achieve. No matter how old you are, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what adversity is in front of you, if you do one thing every day, when you look back 3, 5, 10 years from now, you're going to like where you are.
Dude, I love that. And yeah, dude, what? I hope to be in SoCal soon, so I can.
I'd love to see you,
because you know. But you've noticed it's not like I've been going to Vegas, so
I know. We'll see each other soon for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But time flies. I love you. You are like the brother that I never had. My phone, my house is always open to you, brother. So I love you. Thanks for everything.
Likewise, man. And I just have one question for you: what if it didn't work?
Exactly. I ask myself that fucking every day, man.
Ask yourself better questions. What if it didn't work? What if it didn't work? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it didn't work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.